Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So as I mentioned at the beginning, we celebrate the birth of St. John the Baptist. It's such an important feast day that it replaces the Sunday Mass. And again, that doesn't happen very often. Only three birthdays do we celebrate in our faith. Obviously, we celebrate John the Baptist. Who else do we celebrate? Who else? Jesus, yep, Christmas, and the Blessed Mother Mary. So John is right up there. And the business about his name, you notice that was kind of central to the gospel. What are we going to call him? And the habit that they had in those days was always that a child would have an ancestral name. Now, back for the Jewish people, and the Jewish people even to this day, a name is very important. And really, until about 40 years ago, for Catholics, the name was almost always a saint's name or a family name. That's really just changed in this generation. And it would be nice kind of to get back to the significance and the meaning of the name. John is his name. Anybody know what the word John means? It's, you know, like a Hebrew expression into Greek, but it carries a meaning. So John's name means God has given his grace. So his name is John, and God has given his grace. Now John and Jesus come onto the scene about the same time, you know, and there's some parallels, there's some similarities between John and Jesus. If you would have come to Mass last night, you would have heard the story of the angel Gabriel visiting Zechariah as he was serving in the temple and telling Zechariah that his wife was going to miraculously conceive a child and that they would name him John. So the angel Gabriel visits and tells of a miraculous conception and the coming of this child whose life is foretold. Huh? Have we heard of anybody else that fits that description? And so John has this place. There's this miracle surrounding his conception because he was conceived in the womb of a woman who was past childbearing age and had been barren all of her life. There's this prophecy about Elijah. The prophet Malachi says that before the Messiah comes, Elijah will come back. Now, we don't believe in reincarnation, and we don't think that Elijah is going to be reincarnated. What we believe is that a prophet will come in the spirit of Elijah. And who is that? It's John the Baptist, and Jesus says it as well, and so does the angel. So we have this miraculous realities around John, whose name means God has given his grace. The first thing that John does is still when he's in the womb of his mother Elizabeth and Mary comes to visit Elizabeth and Jesus is in Mary's womb and John is in Elizabeth's womb and John does what? Leaps for joy at the presence of Jesus. And what does the name Jesus mean, by the way? So John means God has given us grace. Jesus means God saves. And how does God save? By his grace. God saves, and John is the voice of the one in the desert making straight the path. John was famous. You heard the people say in the gospel I read just a moment ago, what's going to become of this child? Now, John's father was a priest that served in the temple in Jerusalem. And how people got to be priests that served in the temple is they inherited that position. There was one tribe of the Jews, the Levites, and they were the priests. And so if your dad was a priest, then the children, the sons, would be priests. But John, did he go to serve in the temple? Is that where he went and got his spiritual training? No, where did he go? He went out into the wilderness. And what exactly he did in the wilderness and how that went, we're not sure. We have a few guesses, but it's not really revealed to us. But what we do know is that a certain time in the future came, and John comes onto the scene, and he's preaching and he's teaching. And the Bible says the whole of Judea, it would be like saying for us, the whole south went out to see him. It'd be like saying the whole south went out to see him in Hancock County, you know, out in the country, okay? So they're all going out to the country to see John, and he's proclaiming this powerful message. And what is he saying? What is he saying? He's saying, he must increase, I must decrease. He's saying, I'm not worthy to touch his feet. He's going to say, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. So all of these people, and John is becoming famous, but he points to Jesus. Today, when you're coming forward to receive Holy Communion, maybe I can plant this thought in your brain. He must increase, I must decrease. My littleness, my pettiness, my selfishness, my ego, my sin must decrease. The life of Jesus in me must increase. So John was a man of virtue. What is virtue? Virtue comes from the Latin word for strength. John was a strong man, strong in the things that are good and holy and noble. John was a strong man in virtue, like patience and honesty and generosity and faith and hope and love. John was a strong man. Without virtue, freedom is impossible. Who said that? Without virtue, freedom is impossible. George Washington said that. See, we're getting close to the 4th of July. So a little patriotic quote for you there, okay? Without virtue, freedom is impossible. And John was a man of virtue. So often human tendency is to take the path of least resistance. And we need the virtue of religion. We need the virtue of truth. We need God's grace to help us. God gives his grace. That's what John's name means. God saves. That's what Jesus' name means. So the one virtue that I want to highlight from the life of John is the virtue of courage. What does it mean to be courageous? To be courageous means to have fortitude, to have guts. Ultimately, courage is this: that you know that the right thing to do is going to cause you pain. Whether it's emotional pain, physical pain, whether it is mental anguish, the right thing to do is going to cause you pain. And you do it anyway. That's courage. The opposite of courage, we could say cowardice, but perhaps escapism. To escape into who knows what. We have many ways to escape today. The internet and drugs and alcohol and games. Just to escape. But courage calls us out. Courage is essential to love. To put someone else's welfare above our own escape. Courage takes many forms, and there are many examples. The courage to do the right thing, even when it's unpopular. The courage to face a personal fear, like spiders or snakes or heights or flying or whatever it is, and you know it's going to cause you some anguish and angst, and you go forward anyway. In the face of that takes the virtue of courage. The courage to endure physical or mental pain for the sake of self-improvement, like diet and exercise and study, right? Those there's an element of courage in that. The courage to trust in God. The courage to trust in God. The courage to speak the truth. The courage to open your marriage to life. The courage to be faithful. John was a man of virtue and courage. Now, what was his preaching? What did he say? He must increase, I must decrease. Behold the Lamb of God. But if we could sum all of John's preaching up in one word, if we could sum it all up in one word, when John began his ministry out in the desert and all of Judea went to see him in the wilderness, repent. Remember that? Repent, he said, and then demonstrate your repentance by a change in your life. And so John courageously proclaimed this message of repentance. And so I can stand up here this evening and say to you all, repent. And then I'll go have my seat, right? And I've preached courageously, right? Wrong. See, because John got personal. It's very easy to speak in generalities, but John got very specific. He put a little poke on his call to repentance. People would say, well, John, you're just being a downer. You're being negative. Why don't you shut up? Why don't you go back to the desert? Who needs to hear you? That's for you, not for me. See, because John, he had to talk about marriage. He had to talk about a virtuous life. He had to talk about purity. People didn't want to hear it. Who was the king when John started his preaching? Anybody remember who it was? It was the same king that when Jesus was doing his preaching. Who was it? Herod, right? King Herod. King Herod had a wife. But it wasn't really his wife. Whose wife did King Herod have? He had Philip, his brother's wife. And he took his brother's wife from him for himself. And what did John say? John said, repent. And then he went home. No, he said to the king, hey, you, king, it is unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. And he preached courageously. Even when it was unpopular, he spoke the truth, even when it had a point on it. And so what happened? He was arrested, put in jail, and he had his head chopped off and served on a silver platter. It's a true story. He was courageous. We have to be people who can hear the voice of John. We have to be the voice of John in our lives. Not getting in people's face, not insulting people, not putting people down, not judging people to hell, but speaking the truth. Clearly, standing up for the truth about human sexuality, about marriage, about purity. Not that long ago, in a confessional not far from here, I had an encounter again with somebody coming back to the church after many years away. After many, many, many years away, they came back. They heard a gentle voice call them back. They heard the voice to what? Calling them to repent. And it might not have been immediately, but in time they came. They came and they began to read and they began to study and they began to pray. And lo and behold, they found themselves in the confessional saying, now I know that Jesus Christ doesn't come to condemn. Jesus Christ comes to what? to save. What's his name mean? God saves. What does John's name mean? God gives his grace. And the grace of God, are you an instrument of God's grace? Are you receiving God's grace? You know, there's no virtue in being drug around by the flesh. There's slavery in that. There's slavery in ignorance. There is slavery in sin. There is slavery in cowardice. There is freedom in virtue. There is freedom in courage. There is freedom in Christ. Doesn't happen by accident. Certainly God's grace is needed. Courage. It's not being afraid. It's going forward in spite of our fears. It's not feeling the pain. It's going forward in spite of the pain. We pray today. I pray today for the intercession of Saint John the Baptist, that I may be a man of courage and virtue. I pray for you all that you will be a people of courage and virtue. What does John mean? God gives his grace. What does Jesus mean? God saves.